The second Sunday of Christmas. The first lesson starts with 1 Kings chapter 3. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the ark of the Lord's covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, I'm not preaching on the gospel lesson, but how about that? Joseph and Mary lost God's son. Not a good thing. But I am preaching on the lesson to the Ephesians, and that lesson is packed with stuff. So I encourage you to go home and reread that lesson, because I'm only really dealing with a couple of verses today, because it just has so much for you. So anyway, what now? It's January 3rd, and half of us have already broken some or all of our New Year's resolutions. And if that's the case for you, I have just one thing to say. Well, that went well. No, that's not what I have to say. Listen, we're here this morning because Jesus is awesome. Right? Yeah. Who was clapping? Good for you, Greg. I know! Let's join Greg. Not only do we not want Greg to feel all alone, but Jesus is awesome. Isn't it awesome that He has forgiven us every one of our sins? Isn't it awesome that He sent His Spirit to live within us? Isn't it awesome that His Spirit is here in this room right now, enabling us to bring worship to God? And isn't it awesome that Jesus has made us not only brothers and sisters to one another, but brothers and sisters to Him and sons and daughters of the Most High God? Awesome. Awesome. Now, a moment ago I teased about already messing up on New Year's resolutions. And I said I had something to say about it, and I do, and this is what it is. It's a timeless truth of God. God is a God of new beginnings. He's a God of new beginnings. And isn't that a great thing? While it is laudable to try to maintain good New Year's resolutions for as long as you can, when weakness overtakes you, guess what? If it's a good resolution, one which God thinks is good, He'll help you to get right back at it. A new beginning. In fact, God is willing to help us to far greater extents than we might think. Look at these words from the pen of Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. Right at the very beginning of the letter, verse 3, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Well, to begin with, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Sometimes we have very wrong perceptions about God's intentions for us. Paul is teaching us that God is anything but stingy when it comes to dispensing His blessings. He tells us that God doesn't intend to give us just some blessings. His intention is to bring us every spiritual blessing. Whoa! God is generous to a fault. And Paul continues in the very next verse. He says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." That is a statement worthy of contemplation. Now, our eyes might first look and settle on the words holy and blameless. And we'll get to those words in just a moment. But look first at the words at the beginning of the sentence. He said, He, God the Father, chose us in Him, in Jesus, before the creation of the world. Oh my goodness! Do you realize what that's saying? It's saying that even before God said, let there be light, God knew about you and had a plan for you, that you would become holy and blameless. Now listen to me. Don't you ever think you're junk. Don't you do it. God planned you, created you, and thinks you're worth a great deal. And we know that because He sent Jesus here to make sure, do everything that needed to be done so that you could spend eternity with God in heaven, freed from the consequences of your sins. God is awesome. God is awesome. What a wonder this is. Now let's look at those other two words of impact in this verse. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Holy and blameless. It's rather astounding, don't you think? Do you remember that I said a couple of minutes ago that if you slipped up on your New Year's resolutions that there's help because God is a God of new beginnings? Well, if He's called you to be holy and blameless and He's willing to help you with that, then He's more than able to help you stay away from the Krispy Kremes or the Dunkin' Donuts or the triple sugar latte espresso praline hazelnut thing, whatever it's called at Starbucks. He can help you with all that stuff. Now, if you have certain goals that you're trying to attain in this new year that are good for you, like eating healthy or getting exercise or some other form of self-improvement, or if you've made the decision in this new year to volunteer more or to be kinder to others, then good for you. And while I'm not seeking to diminish those kinds of things, please do consider what God has as a goal for you and me. And notice I included myself here. That we would be holy and blameless. Holy and blameless. The Greek word translated here as blameless literally means to be without blemish. Now, I don't know how many NBA fans we have here, but the Golden State Warriors, as of last night, I believe I saw that they are now 31-2. They won their first 24 games, which is, by NBA standards, an astounding thing. But you know what? It's not a record without blemish. As astounding as it is, it still has a blemish on it. Now, think again about what Paul has written here. He's saying that God has chosen you before the creation of the world to be without blemish. How can that be? And we are also called to be holy. To be holy is to be pure, perfect, and without defect. In some contexts, the word is translated as saints. In still other contexts, the word carries with it the notion that those who are saints or who are holy are to be so for the purposes of God. And you and I hear that, and we might think, I can't even handle my New Year's resolutions. How can I live up to that? I understand that. But for just a moment, try this on. Instead of immediately going to the presumption of failure, what if you took the nobler view, the godly view, the view that seeks to have God's purposes? What if you said to yourself, wow, God calls me to be holy? That's awesome. I didn't know He thought so much of me. You know, God knows what He's doing. So there must be some possibilities here. Yeah, what if that was your attitude? What if you embraced a God-driven, God-enabled, can-do attitude? Which approach to the living of life in 2016 will you choose? The little engine that couldn't, or the little engine that could attitude? Are you going to be the cup half-empty person? Or the cup half-full and ready for the level to rise over the top till it spills over the top person? Which one are you going to be? And that's all up to you. Well, almost. It's part you, and it's part God. Look, if you're not willing, God's not going to force His help on you. He's just not going to do that. His expectation and calling for you and me to be holy won't change. He still expects holiness and blamelessness, but He won't force His help on us. But if you are willing, if you're willing to receive the help of God day in and day out to help you have the right attitude, think the right kinds of things, do the right kinds of things, and all the while believing that the Spirit of God will indeed help you, then you are going to go a lot farther toward God's call of perfection. Because really, that's what the call to holiness and blamelessness is. It's a call to perfection. And you might hear those words and think it just impossible. I get that. I get that. And in one sense, you are right. It does say in the book of Romans, "For all have sinned." We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Yeah, I get that. We all sin, and some days more frequently than others. But on the other hand, Scripture also says this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, every moment and in every situation where we are willing to receive the enabling of the Holy Spirit, we can live in holiness. We can. And I find that a helpful thought, a hopeful thought. You and I can live in holiness. And I mean it. Every minute that we live with the power and the strength and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can live in holiness. That's good news. That's great news. This is hopeful news. This is news worthy of knowing and remembering and acting upon. To live in holiness, it's quite an honor. Quite a calling. It's a great privilege. May God help us so to do. Amen? Amen.